I created Species Nutrition with one mission in mind: to provide bodybuilders and serious athletes with no-nonsense supplements that work. I put my name and reputation on every bottle of Species Nutrition products. If you want to be your absolute best, join the evolution. And we're back, and we're live for another edition of Heavy Muscle Radio. I am directly off a flight from St. Louis, and Chris Aceto is in his beach house, so that means he's very relaxed. He's on vacation. What's going on, Chris?
I am, I'm relaxed. I was too tired to drive home. My wife and kids went home about...
You are alone then. Oh, okay. All
right. No, they were here for a couple of days. And
it's I was saying you're alone now. You got you.
Yeah, it's 10:40 now, and so...
You pull the black, but I got so much work.
I have so much work. So
your wife's like, stay. I don't want
to... I was too tired to... We came in two cars, and I was too tired to drive back. So I said, I'll come back at like 6 in the morning or something.
You were stalling. You really wanted to do, you wanted some vacation time.
Though. I will sleep. I did this. I will sleep like a dream tonight.
So nope, is it true? Did you get recognized on the beach?
Huh?
Did you get recognized on the beach?
I told Dave, you just can't believe this. Two coincidences.
One, I got a better story, but you tell your story first because it's a good one.
Okay. So I'm on the beach with the 5-year-old and I put the beach chair out and a girl comes up to me. This was 2 days ago. And she comes up to me and she said, are you Chris Aceto? I said, yeah. So she said, from bodybuilding, right? And I said, yeah. So she said, my boyfriend's like too shy or too embarrassed. He's over there. He didn't dare to come up and say anything. So I said, well, tell him to come on over. So he comes over and we chit chat for a little bit. And he says, oh, I've, you know, listen to Heavy Muscle Radio. And I said, where are you staying? And he's staying in the same building where I own a unit.
Oh, that's funny.
I own a unit anyways. And so he's staying at the same building. So that was, I think, 2 days ago. This morning, I'm back out on the beach with the 5-year-old. And this guy comes up. So the guy listens to Heavy Muscle Radio, big bodybuilding fan.
Yeah.
Another guy comes up. The first couple was from Michigan, and the next couple was from Idaho, and they came up today and they said, are you Chris? And I said, yeah, Heavy Muscle Radio. I just had a feeling, sure enough.
Yeah.
They started yapping about bodybuilding, Heavy Muscle Radio, and they were staying in the building. So I asked them if they were friends with, I didn't even know the people's name from 2 days ago. But the idea that two people, you know, just... The coincidence. But the Evan Santapani is even crazier.
What happened with Evan Santapani?
Evan knows that I love historical architecture. And I'll send him pictures of like houses that I see on Instagram, and he'll send me pictures of houses from like, you know, 1910 or something.
Right.
So he sends me pictures of this mailbox. He says it's one of a kind. It's one of a kind.
Okay.
And I said, hold on a second. I run down to the lobby of this building where I'm at now. And I take a picture. And it's the same exact mailbox.
Are you serious?
He just bought it at like an antique store or something.
It was that mailbox itself?
It was the same exact mailbox, but made by the same company. So he told me if you flip it, he flipped his over. And in giant like marks into the... it must be made out of, I don't know what, iron, cast iron.
Right.
It's an outgoing mailbox, like a commercial mailbox.
Yeah.
His is marked 1948 in big letters. So if you look under it, you'll see that it was made you'll see the year that it was manufactured. So I went down and the mailbox in the lobby was manufactured 1931.
Shit. Wow.
So, but the coincidence, he said it was one of a kind. I said, not really.
All the old stuff lasts, Chris, because it's made so well.
Yeah.
You buy a mailbox like today, in 2 years, it'll just fall apart on its own. You don't even have to even like try to like hit it, you know, mess it up or anything like that.
Well, the mailboxes were better, Dave, and the real trend from France was better.
Yeah, that's right. Really 76 terrible.
Milligrams. So if you're contest prepping, I'm reading these cycles, Dave, and using 760 milligrams a week.
Yeah.
Dude, the cycles, I was talking to Dave about that before the show started. The cycles beyond past.
It's either people are lying, okay, about like saying when they use 1,000 milligrams of Tren a week, or the Tren is just not the right strength and they're not using 1,000.
Why can't they both be true, that they're using 700 mg and they
I don't think you can't. Could function. Look, I'm telling you, I couldn't sleep on like 200 milligrams of Trenbolone a week. And these to take 1,000, you would be like, you'd have to like take propofol to go to sleep, like Michael Jackson.
Well, or you could have kids and you could fall asleep on a dime.
Most bodybuilders don't have kids. Although I saw a very cute picture of Wesley Vissers with his son. Did you see this kid? This kid's going to be a freaking movie star. Look at this.
Yeah, he can sleep obviously on 1,000 Masteron a week.
You know what? Did he put out a cycle that he was doing?
Someone sent me a clip of 1,000 Masteron a week.
Right.
Unless it was an English translation issue.
Yeah.
And
well Masteron is not that. I mean, it still sounds ridiculous in the amounts, but it's not an androgen in the sense like that Trenbolone would like give you the crazy, crazy side effects. It's just unnecessary, probably, you know.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who's ever used beta 2. Then 200 a week. And go to my Instagram. You know how many people I've coached? 200.
Yeah. Well, most people use like 200-300 of Masteron a week. By the way, Lee Priest is technically right. I had a tattoo removal done because I had a tattoo on my face, Chris. I was trying to be like Lee. And the guy said to me, who was putting the tattoos on, he's like, these tattoos, you can't put them on your face. I said, why not? He said, because it's not face paint safe. I said, but what even does that mean? He goes, it means you won't be able to get it off. I said, I am the greasiest Italian you've ever met.
You'll slide right off.
I will take a tissue and wipe the thing off. He goes, I'm telling you, it's not going to come off. You're going to have to use rubbing alcohol and rub it. So I had it on and I went back to the room and I washed my face with like, and it came right off. Like you would think that the guy was like there was something wrong with the guy to tell me that. Cause this guy did tattoos, you know? I said, so now I have to go. Lee, I have to get I need your stencil of your tattoo so I could be just like you, like a mini Lee Priest.
Speaking, Dave, of things just sliding right off. Did you get did I send you that Instagram? You should put it up of the guy on the roller coaster with the girl.
Oh yeah, a lot of people saw it. The one where the wig goes flying up. Turns out it's a guy. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I was watching that. I watched that and I started to cry and scream and laugh. And my 10-year-old and 5-year-old came flying into the room to find out what's going on. What's the matter? Because I don't. I was laughing uncontrollably.
Lee, I didn't have the balls to put to make it as permanent yours. That's why. Twice he did it. Lee actually was the only human being I know to actually get a tattoo, have it actually removed and get it where it was. You couldn't see it anymore. And then he got it again.
No, he missed it.
I think he missed the pain of doing it. So he wanted to go do it again. So, but anyway, so I was in the airport. So I had a connect from St. Louis. I'll talk about that in a minute. I was in the St. Louis Pro Show with Jack DeTone show. I had a connect in Atlanta on the way home, and then I kept saying, you know, the connection is very close. I was afraid I was going to miss it. You know that Atlanta airport. You've been there. It's very big, and you got to get on like trains and shit like that. And I'm like, I said, why do I book these things? I booked it too close together. The connection is going to be too. So I get off the plane, Chris, and as I'm getting off, they're like, all right, anyone from Fort Myers, this plane's going to Fort Myers next. So the plane where I actually was getting off of was the plane that was going to Fort Myers. So I was actually at the gate. It was the same plane. It was the miracle. Yeah. So as I get off, this guy comes up to me and he's like, Dave Palumbo. He had the, you know, like a captain's, you know, uniform on. He was a pilot, you know, pilot's uniform on. And I said, hey, what's up? He's like, yeah. And he could tell the guy works out. He goes, yeah, I'm getting ready for my first show. He goes, I watch you and Chris all the time on Heavy Muscle Radio. Love the stuff. I said, oh, great. He goes, let me get a picture. So he actually was catching a flight on the way back to Fort Myers. Yeah, he's in the area. and he's a pilot. So, and he flies a lot on flights to, what was he telling me he flew to? Like, oh, he goes to White Plains, which is where my sister lives, you know, in New York. So you never know. I might have him as my pilot in future flights, especially if I come up from New York.
You got to pull a J.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he can let me. You think he'll let me sit next to him in the cockpit? On the cockpit?
No, but they used to be able to. There was Jay used to have a connection at one of. I told that story before, right? One of the airlines. And wherever I was, like, if Dave, he was so in with the guy. Like, let's say Dave, you were flying like Fort Myers to Idaho. You just call up Jay and say, "Hey, Jay, can you get me upgraded?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, okay, goodbye."
Oh really? That was all right. That's a good.
Yeah, connection. Jay had this crazy connection that. Like whenever I'd fly somewhere, or me or Laura.
Yeah, that's say, great.
I'm flying out of Portland, and I'm gonna fly to Texas. Can you get me upgraded? Yeah. Like, yeah, all
that's
done.
Awesome. Mike Palazzo's dad used to work for Virgin, Virgin American Airlines there, and whenever I would fly out of, like, I think it was JFK, he worked out of. He would get me upgraded to like the business class, which was nice. And Jim Mannion had some woman in Pittsburgh Airport that he was every time when I used to fly there in the 90s, this woman loved him. And every time she saw me, she'd upgrade me also because she always upgraded Jim. And so that was a good connection too. But I did get a free wine on the plane because the woman, the flight attendants are like, "Oh, we've seen that's two times in one day. You get a free drink for us." I'll take some Vino Viagra. I need some Vino Viagra. So I had a red wine, toasted, gave a little toast to Steve Blackman. Anyway, so I went to St. Louis, and it's funny because I haven't really gone to a lot of shows. So this was like the first like non-Olympia Arnold show that I went to, and it was really good. First of all, I realized how much I missed Jack. So I used to go to Jack's show all the time.
Yeah,
Jack and Antonio, and worked for me at Species Nutrition. She was an athlete for years, and they threw a great show. They sold that place out, man. I couldn't believe how many tickets they sold. It was really, really good. It was a pro-am show, and I ran into a lot of good people, and that's what I wanted to talk about. You know, we got the guest posing coming up in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks, and it's 2 weeks, right? Yeah,
two weeks,
and we have the New York Pro the week after that. And I ran into I ran into Martin Fitzwater, who won the Detroit show. You know, controversially, obviously, we thought, you know, we said Big Vito we thought Big Vito should have won. And he came up to me. He's like, "Yeah, I'm doing New York." I said, "Oh, you are? Why?" He's like, "Well, you know, I could have been better." He knew he could have been better in Detroit, so he wants to bring. He was showing me pictures. He's already like fucking shrink wrapped, like crazy looking. And I think he wants to show everyone that he can be his best, you know, on stage. Yeah. Which I thought it wasn't his fault that he won the show. You know, the judges picked him, but it's cool that he doesn't have to do another show. He's qualified for the Olympia, but he wants to go up against Nick Walker to see how he does, obviously, and to show everyone, hey, I can be better than I was in Detroit, which I thought was pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
How many guys would do that, you know, risk it, lay it on the line like that, you know?
No, they'd do the opposite. They'd say that I looked like Andreas Monsi. You just have to be there to see it.
Yeah, right. He didn't make any – right. He made no excuses for
himself. Cool. You know, I thought, you know, I was not there, and I thought Vito had the edge, but I thought he looked great.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's a great. You know, he's really put together good. He doesn't have weaknesses, so that's
now
bodybuilding that moves you up a lot. Yeah. A lot of shows.
Yeah,
and his condition was, good. I just, you know, it was very good actually. You know, it was good, but
and he's young. He's young too, Chris, which is helpful. He's got that young skin.
You know? Without a doubt. Well, you know, when you're young, your muscles just look blasting full, even when it's not full.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw Tony O'Burton was there too.
Oh yeah, really?
So He was up on stage there, and he was talking on the mic, and I said, "I pulled the black man. God, let's see what you look like." I said, "Let's see. Take it off. Woo!" I've become that like old like weirdo guy in the audience now. So I wanted to see what he looked like.
Combination of Blackman and Lonnie Tepper.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. He's doing New York Pro, and he looks dangerous. And you know what? I saw him up close, and he's way more impressive up close, I think, than he is like in pictures and videos. He's got that freaky round like Bonac muscle that I think he can give Nick Walker, you know, some problems on that stage. He's not as big, but he's really round, Chris, this guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's really good also. Those are two, I mean, those are three people who are probably all very young. Fitzwater, Burton, and Walker, who all for sure under 30 years old and all are at this point, you know, really impressive. All in their unique ways, you know, all in their own little special ways. You know, Nick's freaky, of course, and Antonio's freaky in terms of roundness and in terms of completeness and lack of weaknesses and density. You know, Fitzwater's really good.
Yeah.
It's a believable show because there's three guys, right?
Yeah. Really good. I think that isn't that Quentin Urrea doing it too?
I didn't know that.
I think so. John Scuderi just texted me. I don't know. I think he's doing it also. That's a lot of like good talent there. I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park for Nick Walker. I really don't. I was very impressed with Tonio Burton in person. Like I said, he's round. You know, you can't. It's incredible how round he is. You know, it's not, and it's not fake muscle. It's not pumped up muscle. It's real dense muscle. You know,
it's Jimmy.
He's been training. You can tell that's heavy, hardcore training right there. You know, so. I think the New York Pro is going to be very exciting. I'm booking my flight tomorrow, so I'm going.
Yeah, I'm booking my flight down 90 Interstate 95.
You can pick me up at the airport.
I'll be.
We'll get a picture with the pilot.
Yeah.
I'll fly into White Plains. You can grab me on the way down. But no, you know what? I think this is going to be one of the best New York Pros in a while. Weinberg has got that money up to like $30,000, you know, at stake there. So a lot of these guys, you know, yeah, it's great title, but freaking money. And then Steve gives that ring away too, that New York Pro ring, which is always cool. It's always nice to have a ring on your finger, you know.
Yeah, like
who's got the most New York Pro rings?
Who's won? I don't know. Who's won it?
Nick Walker won it, right? I'm trying to think who's won a bunch of those. Probably. Well, Rammy's got two, right?
Did he win it twice?
Yeah. I think he won it 2 years in a row, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Rammy's got two. Who else has got? I'm sure Dexter's got a couple of those things.
Yeah, a lot of good people won that show. Now, Dexter only won it once because Dexter won it the year that show was pretty stacked. Rolly was in it. Dexter was in it. You were with me.
Yep.
Flo was in it. Max was in it.
It's going to be a good show for sure. And like I said, you know, Nick, everyone seems to think Nick is a foregone conclusion here. And, you know, you'd be crazy not to, like, bet. If you're going to bet on the show, you know, Nick Walker is a very good bet. Because he's going to be the biggest guy in the lineup for sure. But there's some guys with some freaky proportion, and sometimes freaky proportion beats, you know, size. So don't be surprised if we see an upset. The thing is with Nick is he's never out of shape. So I'm sure he's ready now. So I can't, unless he miscalculates and doesn't fill up enough or comes in too depleted, or you know, it's going to be hard to beat him. But you know, it's what the judges are looking at and on that particular day. And if someone like Antonio Burton comes in ridiculously shredded, it could be, you know, like a Dexter versus Jay type of thing. Jay doesn't always win in those battles, you know? So it depends on whose physique looks the best on that day. Why do you think Nick Walker has picked New York Pro? Is it the money, the title?
Let's see. What were the options, I guess, for him?
Well, he could do anything. He has to qualify, obviously, but he can do any show to qualify. I mean, he wasn't ready for the Arnold, so he had to pick something. So New York Pro, he could have done Tampa, he could have done, you know, there's a lot of shows.
maybe get the maybe his thought process was get the qualification, get it out of the way, you know, early, and then that way, you know, I have time to like put the body in neutral or whatever, you know, he wants to do, and maybe allow his weight to go up a little bit and then get ready for the Olympia, as opposed to like, you know, another 12, 15 weeks from now, you know what I mean? A lot can happen.
Yeah.
With the shorter lot, you know, I think the wisdom in it is get it over, get it out of the way, get qualified, and then reset everything for the Olympia.
Yeah, I agree. Another big guy I ran into, Chris, at the St. Louis show. Let me pull it up. Brett Wilkin, guest pose there. And I was walking in as he was guest posing. You know how these guys jump in the crowd? And he just like was walking right towards me. So I just pulled my camera out and took a picture of him. He's enormous looking. I mean, he's has to have put on 10, 15 pounds from last year. I mean, and this is not even a good picture of him. He actually has some better pictures on his own Instagram. But I just thought this was funny because he literally walked right into me. It was like I just walked into the auditorium. People are saying Quentin. I mean, a couple of people in the comments saying Quentin will beat Nick Walker. What do you think? He's really good too.
He's really good, but it's not ready. I mean, he don't have this. He has great shape. Great shape, but he's not ready to beat Nick Walker. Sure.
Yeah. He kind of looks like an Andrew Jack in these pictures. Look at this. Hold on.
He does look very Andrew.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like a young Andrew Jack. He's put a lot of muscle on over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know where the cat came from. But that's impressive. You know what, Chris? I mean, you're a big shape guy. I mean, can this beat Nick Walker? And why, and if not, in your mind, why not?
How many times do I say no?
I want to know what your analysis of why.
Nick's front double will neutralize that down to nothingness.
Okay.
Nick is too big right now for, you know what I mean? It's like saying, you know, can
Andrew Jack beat Nick Walker?
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Because he's bigger?
Way bigger, way taller, way there's...
I think they're about the same height, don't you think?
They're not in the same stratosphere in terms of size.
Yeah.
And Andrew has to be at his all-time best to beat Nick.
That's a doctored up picture, but in the
you'll see at the Pittsburgh because you're going to see Nick Walker standing next to Andrew Jack.
Right, that's true. Yeah, but that's not really fair. Andrew's not getting ready for a show yet, is he?
Yeah, he started his prep for a show for Texas.
Right, but Nick Walker's going to be a week out from New York. I'm sure he's going to look better.
Oh yeah, he'll look better, but you know, Andrew's going to be carrying his weight in a way in a couple weeks.
I think where Quentin loses is not from the front and the sides; it's from the back, because Nick Walker is just almost unbeatable from behind. You know, he's very good.
Nick's just thicker there's just more mass to him. You know.
Yeah. But you see a lot of Instagram pictures of people from the front and stuff like that. It's like when we see you don't really see a lot of back pictures, and not many guys are as good from the front as they are from the back.
True.
I mean, when you see a picture like this, look at this picture, Chris. This is that's the picture you want. If I have to pick a physique, I want to look like that, you know, that coming out of the shower. That's fucking pretty impressive. But, you know, bodybuilding shows are one from, you know, every angle on stage. But that is pretty impressive.
You know, Haji there.
That's some pretty good genetics, I got to tell you, Chris.
No, he's got a great physique. Just, you know, we just mentioned three young guys. There's a fourth.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Antonio Barton's density and roundness.
No.
He's got better flow and shape. That's not to say Antonio doesn't have good flow and shape, but he's got prime time flow and shape, and that's the attraction.
Look at this, Chris. I don't know how much time is between those pictures, but it's a pretty big transformation right there.
Yeah, that's like 16 months, I think. That's 16 months on the Thousand Master Owned, which is the average cycle, I guess, these days.
Yeah. I think he turned pro naturally, Chris. I remember interviewing him, but I don't think he had taken any drugs to turn that pro. So he's like another Ronnie Coleman, type guy on the way up. We'll be talking about him in the next couple of years. He's going to definitely be a dangerous character, obviously, because he's making improvements. He's like a Samson Dowda, like improvement guy, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny, we mentioned this before, that all these guys that we've been, Andrew, Samson, Quentin, all from Nigeria, right? All Nigerian?
Yeah. I believe so. I mean, I know. Yeah. I believe they're all from Nigeria.
I believe that's where we had pulled up and talked about that. So that's very impressive. What else is going on? Let's see. So I think we're sending Sid to Pittsburgh in 2 weeks.
I told you that. Dave, and do the live play-by-play.
You know what? I Chris, I can't go away every weekend. It's too much. I went from like nothing to like everything. I can't do it.
I can't even get 50 miles away from my house, Dave, here. In Old Orchard, it's too much travel. I don't have the energy to travel home. Unless there's a flight. It's only a one-hour drive. Maybe I can call someone to see if there's a flight.
Here, let's take a look at Beef Stew. Beef Stew is guest posing this weekend. Love Beef Stew. He wins haircut of the year for sure. No one's got a better haircut than him. That's at the Emerald Cup. Did you know that Brad and Elaine Craig, sold that show? They don't do that anymore?
No, who they sell it to?
I don't know for sure, but I know they sold it because they retired in Idaho. Brad was a cop, and they're running shows in Idaho now. They told me, Brad, because I talked to Brad on the phone. He's like, it was between Idaho and Naples. I said, how did you pick Idaho? It doesn't even seem like it should even be a contest. He's like, well, we thought that Naples would be too hot in the summer. I said, you're out of your mind.
He said, Beef Stew looks a little Bruno Mars in this shot.
Yeah, he always looks Bruno Mars in that haircut. Yeah, but he's put a lot of size on too. So I don't know what show he's planning on doing though. I haven't. Oh, he's doing New York Pro. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, of course he is. It's going to be like
David Bay emceed that show, the Emerald Cup. You just said. All right, so Beef Stew. It's going to be a good lineup. Steve's got a really good lineup over there. I wish they, God forbid, they released the lineup like a couple weeks before so we can talk about it. What do you think about Bayrus Tabani, though? I mean, this poor guy can't get a freaking visa. How come Hadi Shupin can get a visa and Bayrus can't get a visa?
Can he get a visa anywhere or just can't get a visa?
He can't get to the United States, this guy.
Well, he can do like someone I know and sneak over the border.
Yeah, but him, they'll let like the terrorists sneak over the border. Him who's a legitimate athlete, and legitimately want, they'll arrest him, because he looks like he's, like a troublemaker because he's so big. God forbid a bodybuilder wants to come over here and compete. Athletes should be exempt from any kind of political pressures. I'm sorry. I saw Jesse the Body Ventura on a talk show, and he was saying, he doesn't fly commercial anymore. And the guy was asking, I heard you don't fly commercial. Why don't you? Is it because, you like private? He goes, no. He goes, because I'm sick of being accosted in the airport every time I fly. He's like, it's violating my Fourth Amendment rights. He said, I'm a well-known person. I've been traveling for 30 years. I was governor of Minnesota or whatever it was, I think people know who I am now. I don't think they think that I'm a risk. So if they're going to harass me at the airport and pat me down every single time I go through there, that to me is harassment. And he goes, I can't do it anymore. I can't take it anymore. So I don't.
Well, they they kept the other governor and took the other governor's watch that cost $300K. Arnold was going to Germany, and they whatever, and he had the watch, and they didn't declare
it. But you know, it's a shame. This guy is he's an athlete. He should be able to. He should be immune from all the whatever's going on politically, and he should be able to get a visa to compete at a bodybuilding show in the United States, especially if he qualifies for the Olympia. I mean, that's
at this point. I know crazy. I know it's well. You know, who knows? I was going to say maybe he can get to the shows in Europe, but maybe the Europeans.
Well, he can get to those shows, yeah. But then once he qualifies for the Olympia, he can't get to the Olympia. And it would, I mean, that's the goal, right? The guy's a freak.
He can, yeah. Well, you can work on it, Dave. We can get him to Mexico and then have him walk across.
Maybe Milos could go pick him up in Mexico, drive him across. Yes, I heard it. Perry, I know. Yes, Mike Zeltzer told me it's Passover this whole week. So happy Passover to everyone celebrating. I'm not a good Jew. I don't know the holidays. All right. Let me see what else I wanted to talk about. Let's see. About him. What else? Who else are we talking about? Who did you send me a picture of the other day who looked really good? You sent me a really good picture of someone. Who was it?
Not Andrew Jack.
No. Now I got to go back and look. You got to help me out here. I can't remember everything, Chris.
I'm trying to think of him who's getting.
Oh, by the way, you know, while I'm thinking about who you sent me, you know, did you follow that whole Ryan Garcia fight? You know,
no.
He fought that guy Haney, and he beat him. He was acting like a lunatic, like leading up to the fight.
Very little. I followed it a little bit because it was everywhere. You know, you couldn't really miss it.
So. There's a punchline to this whole thing. I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. So Ryan Garcia, you know, good looking guy, you know, he fights this guy Haney. You know, he's acting like a lunatic leading up to the show. Everyone thought he was going to get killed. He actually bet on himself. He bet $2 million on himself, made $12 million on the bet. And before the fight, he was having trouble making weight. And if you can get down to 3 pounds, if you're within three pounds of your weight class, they'll still let you the fight go on, but they fine you, I think, $500,000 per pound that you're over. So you had to pay a $1.5 million fine for being over. And he's like, he purposely did it. He didn't care. He didn't want to go down that low. That was the story. But he did make it down there. You know who helped him get down to weight?
Milos.
Better.
George.
Think about you, what?
George.
No. Who do you know that works with fighters?
Oh, Scooter.
Scooter. Scooter was in there in the corner. Scooter had to come in at the last minute and save the day. I'm not allowed to talk about it, but Scooter saved the day for Ryan Garcia.
Scooter on the show and you know, have him spill.
If you heard this story, Scooter told me it took him about an hour to tell me the story. It was worth it. You know, some people tell you like a big convoluted story, and it's like, oh my god, it was such a good story that I wish he wouldn't stop talking. You know,
yeah.
And then of course, Scooter at the end of telling the story, what do you think he asked me?
Don't tell anyone.
Well, no, other than that. Can you take a look at some blood work?
Yeah. Of course. I'm surprised. Dave, you didn't give me a chance. I'm going to send you my test levels and my thyroid levels, Dave. Can you take a look at
28 pages of blood work later, you know.
What about Anavar for Woman?
you got the whole thing. You know. He probably texted you before he texted me.
No. So
the Ryan Garcia story is the best. But, yeah, so Scooter helped him, you know. Because if he missed the weight, they would have lost the $30 million. You know, he made $30 million on the fight. So,
yeah.
I said, Scooter, did you get paid? I'm going to get paid.
That's
he was up all night, Chris. All night, like nonstop. You know, and you know what a hypochondriac he is about how, you know.
Of course.
It's probably one of the best stories I've ever heard from Scooter. It's a classic story. But, yeah, so Ryan Garcia. Look, the guy is talented. You know, I even asked him, I said, this guy is unbelievable, huh? He goes, he's a genetic freak, the kid. He's got a knockout punch, you know. It's amazing when people could do all stuff wrong and still be that good, you know. It's amazing. Genetics is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in bodybuilding and all sports, you know. But when you get that rare person, like, you know. But, oh, by the way, I want to recommend. Did I recommend for you to watch the documentary on the making of how Nike signed Michael Jordan? Did you see that?
But you told me like three shows in a row about Hugh Hefner. So
no, yeah, you got to watch. It's called Air, or High Air, or something like Air. It's on Amazon. It's a great. It's how Nike wound up, because Jordan had no desire to sign with Nike. He wanted to sign with Adidas.
Yeah, I know that.
And the guy who worked for Nike, who was Matt Damon, played him. It was brilliant. You know, they had hired him. They thought he wasn't doing a job. They were gonna close their basketball division of Nike, because Nike was mostly a running shoe company at that time. Excuse me. And they didn't know what to do. They Adidas had all the athletes, Converse. They're like, this guy's, we got to get Jordan. They're like, we going to get Jordan? Like, we got to get Jordan, because he was a rookie, you know? And it's the story of how they got Jordan. It's great. It's a great story. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone. Watch it. It's on Amazon. I'm telling you, it's a good, worth watching. All right. Let me see what else I want to bring
you
up.
Go back. I don't know who I sent you a picture of. Now I want to know, Dave.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't remember now. You're always sending me pictures of people, though.
No, only when they look nuts.
Right. So is Good Vito done with his vacation now? Has he picked a show?
He's shutting it down for the year.
He's not going to compete anymore? Oh, no. Man. Why? Were you upset?
No. You know me. I could care less.
You think it was a bad move on his part?
I think it was a, you know, it's hard to define what a bad move is.
Well, I mean, the guy was knocking on the door to go to the Olympia. I mean,
yeah, well, I think he wants to be Mr. Olympia. So right. I think the difference. So he made the decision, I think, with the expectation of, I think he knows this. I think he knows I can be really, really good. And I think he could be really, really good at this year's Olympia, actually. And I'm sure he could get a qualification. But, you know, I think that he wants to take a year and make improvements that he made in the last, like, 18 months. Because if you look at his physique in the last 18 months, he's not the same guy. And I think that those showings gave him the confidence to be able to move forward with the aspiration to make those same improvements, you know, so, and they'll take a little bit of time. So, you know, you'll see. Yeah. Another young guy. God, this is like the young guy show. That's what you can.
I know.
Like the fifth guy we've talked about who are all young.
I know. Well, let's talk about an older guy. George Farah had his, the red carpet, you know, roll out of his movie, The Guru. I wasn't there, of course, because I was in St. Louis. Or I would have gone, because it was in St. Pete. It would have been a two-hour drive for me, but I would have gone. But he did invite me. I couldn't go, but I heard it was a big turnout. Kai was there, Dexter was there, and a whole bunch of guys were there. Danny Union was there. So I don't know if George put up pictures yet of it, but he was in all his glory there. So I hear it was good. I didn't see it yet. I'm sure I'll catch it at some point when it goes online. So congratulations, George, on that documentary. Oh, there's Sid. What's up, Sid?
I'm catching up now. So who have you apologized to so far, and who do you plan on apologizing to over the course of the next 60 to 90
minutes? I didn't apologize to anyone, actually. We've been talking about all the young guns in our industry that we've run into the last.
Did you apologize to Nick Walker?
what do we owe him an apology for?
And did you apologize to company and to energy? Because that's what everyone's going to want to know.
What's company?
Because
and energy?
Yesterday, when you did that video on Ozempic, you saw the comments were that you should apologize to the hotel for stealing all the hotel shampoo bottles.
Oh yeah, I only steal towels from the hotel. I don't take shampoo bottles, actually, to be honest with you. But yeah, you know, a lot of people have been asking me about Ozempic. Chris, have you had any competitors ask you about using something like
that? No, I did ask you about it, Dave. And yeah. I think you might, I can't remember what you said. But I did tell you that it costs 90 cents to make it for the company. 90 cents.
You're probably right, actually. No, what a lot of people are asking is, will it cause muscle loss? And the answer to that is no. Ozempic, Mounjaro, all those GLP-2 agonists don't cause muscle loss. What happens is these celebrities and they take it and they don't eat. And, you know, if you don't eat, Chris, you'll lose weight, but you lose muscle as well as fat because you're not giving your body what it needs. And because of that, you get that gaunt, you know, look to the face. You get those hollowed out cheeks because your body is actually starving itself. It's not a healthy thing. It's not healthy for your organs. It's not healthy for your body. Your body needs protein. Bodybuilders, however, are good because what they'll do is they use the Ozempic or Mounjaro just so they don't cheat in between meals because it makes you feel full longer. And so that's why you don't see that in body. I know a lot of actually bodybuilders who are using it now, especially people who are cheaters, people who have bad blood sugar control because it does help with blood sugar control. So I think it has an application. I think you have to just know how to use it. I think anytime people use a drug, like you remember when they used to have those diet pills back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, women would take them and they just wouldn't eat and they would just starve off the weight. And then as soon as they stopped taking them, they would gain all the weight back because they were just suppressing their appetite. They weren't reteaching themselves how to eat properly.
I have to hold my head up because I just can't. I know people are going to start sending me messages about I'm taking 1,000 master on 1,000 trend. 1,000 Ozempic.
Yeah. Well, you take 1,000 Ozempic, you'll be in the hospital because it makes you very, very nauseous if you take too much of it. That's the other great thing. It's a once a week shot. You start with 0.25 milligram a week for like a month, and you can go up to 0.5 milligram. Most bodybuilders don't need to go over 0.5 milligram per week. And like I said, it works really effectively. I mean, if you're just lazy, then it's probably not a good drug. But if you have some people have like blood sugar control issues, some people have severe like, you know, binging like problems, it definitely takes off the edge. If you don't need it, I wouldn't use it. But one thing you have to do, and this is not a plug for myself, but it is kind of a plug in a way, you got to take a fiber supplement with like Fiberlyse because if you don't, it slows your transit of your food through your intestinal tract.
There he goes again.
You'll get constipated. Yes, I got to throw. I had to throw.
There he goes again. Palumbo plugging his own slot.
Yes. Dave said, "Oh my god,
unbelievable!"
Before the fiber, Dave. Now everyone's going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it. Well, it works. You know, who do we know that's a cheater in the industry?
People who don't get lean.
Yeah, I'm saying, but who do we know like that are known cheaters? There are known cheaters. You don't want to say any names, though.
No, I say off the air. Someone I
Flex Wheeler was a self-admitted cheater on his diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Said he
would have done great on Ozempic, probably, when he was competing. He probably would have beat Ronnie if there was Ozempic around. Ronnie didn't need Ozempic. He had Masterpiece barbecue sauce and 2.5 hours of cardio a day, but yeah. Flex would have done great on Ozempic. Sid, where were you this? Sid travels more than all of us combined.
No. So I wasn't traveling. My brother was traveling.
Oh, okay.
So this time I was actually going to the airport to pick somebody up as opposed to me being at the airport to be picked up.
So, did you check on flights for Pittsburgh?
You know what? I'm weighing either flying to Pittsburgh or driving to Pittsburgh. Drive is only 7 hours, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking. I'm thinking it was the best option only because
it'll take you 7 hours to leave your house. The traffic.
he'll do two games along the way, Chris. He'll stop at two places and then do games. You know.
you know, I've actually never been to Pittsburgh. I was last week.
I like Pittsburgh.
I was in Utah. Jay Emanuel was there, and like he was telling me all these stories about Pittsburgh, about the show, obviously, and the history that it carries. And I just looked at him. I'm like, I've never been to Pittsburgh, so I've literally like no concept of any of this or whatever.
But it's Pittsburgh's great with all the
bridges. Pittsburgh's no. I mean, look,
you go over one bridge and you're like, where the right. freak are we? You know,
right? And like whenever like I'm watching like a Mets Pirates game, right? Like you know,
right.
They always show the stadium, and the stadium is kind of like on the intersection of that bridge, and it's kind of
Three River Stadium. Like, can you name all three rivers? Yeah,
exactly. Right. So
let's put Chris on the spot. Three Rivers, name them.
I would know, but I can name you the.
Oh, and you can do it. You went to school.
No, come on, Dave. I didn't learn geography.
You didn't. you did geography in school?
No, but I'll tell you.
Allegheny, Ohio, and the Monica Heller.
Dave was going to Lewis last week, and I told him the Nabisco mansion, Nabisco Crackers mansion, was for sale, and I sent him the link. He didn't.
I passed it, Chris, by the way, today. Driving around there.
You may have.
I'm pretty sure I was in this area where all these mansions were. It's like a very wealthy, as my father would say, old money part of town. And I bet it was there. I said, Chris and I, we're going to go partners on that, the Nabisco mansion.
No, me and Jose are going partners on a house. Four Nubble Light Drive, Wells, Maine. You can Google it.
What's there?
Jose showed me this house. It's a 40-minute drive from where I am, and it's probably an hour drive from his house.
Oh, really?
Just a crazy, crazy, crazy house on the rocks.
And you're buying it with it? You're going in on him with it?
We kid about it all the time.
Yeah. By the way, I ran into George Brown, you know, probably one of the most outspoken guys in men's physique.
Yeah.
St. Louis Pro,
he's the one that almost started that whole thing with him and Buendia back in 20.
Yes, at the Olympia press conference.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, Jeremy, you look a little scared, right? And then that whole thing, that whole back and forth, and then they're all yelling and screaming at one another.
The funny thing is, I think George has been around men's physique longer than anyone at the top level. He's going back to the Olympia again. I mean, this guy might have qualified for more Olympias in men's physique than any other guy, I have to believe. He might even have more wins than anyone. I know he's got
Go ahead, Dave. Compare him to someone in men's open bodybuilding. I know exactly.
Game show. I was going to say, what I was going to say is, what I was going to say, Chris, is why do you think there aren't more consistency in men's physique like George Brown, guys that can continue to come back year after year, win shows, and qualify for the Olympia, whereas in other divisions we seem to be able to see that happening more often?
Well, George has only been able to do it at this age because of the Ozempic, Dave. I don't know. What's the answer?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know why there's not that. Is it a young man's sport, men's physique? Well, and George, these guys Brown, will move on to other divisions or just quit?
I mean,
George is not young. So
the reigning champion is not, I guess, young in terms of men's physique area. I mean, he's been around. Ryan Terry, what was he competing for? God, like 11, 12 years or something like that. Yeah. And finally, you know, wins the men's physique Olympia, that title has been such a revolving door as of late, right? I mean, who are we looking at? We're looking at Brandon. We're looking at, obviously, Buendia had his run, Raymond Edmonds. Who am I missing? There was somebody else in between as well. But obviously, you know, at the Arnold Classic level.
Brandon Hendrickson, of course.
Right. Brandon, I mentioned it. Arnold Classic level, I mean, it was the Andre Ferguson show for like three straight years at one period of time. And then that title started to flip its way around or whatever, but you know who's great for men's physique, Dave? I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. He has his own YouTube channel. I mean, he is he's phenomenal. His name is Hart McGrath. You ever heard of him?
No.
Hart McGrath is like, he's the guy when it comes to men's physique. I mean, his whole channel is like predominantly about men's physique. I mean, he knows these guys inside and out. I mean, to the point where, like, you know how if somebody were to just randomly ask you, like, hey, Dave, who do you like at this upcoming blah, 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 north, south, west, Oklahoma, in the open, whatever, you'll be able to handicap it like boom, 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 this guy, that guy, this guy.
Right.
He's that, but for men's physique. I mean, this guy knows men. But anyway, if you haven't checked out his channel, go check it out. If you ever need to be caught up as far as the world of men's physique, go check his channel. I mean, he's literally up to date. I mean, he's literally in everybody's, like, inbox text message. I mean, he knows all the dirt or whatever like that. So all
is the guy with the dreadlocks?
He's got the dreadlocks. Yeah.
All right, I found him.
Yeah, very entertaining personality too. So I mean, he's a good dude. Like we've gone back and forth or whatever. He'll share a couple things with me, whatever. But yeah.
He looks like your son, Chris, a little bit. Chris sent me a picture. Oh, you know, I know who I want to say. Chris sent me a picture of his son.
Dave, I'm like, who is it?
Yeah, Chris can't think of who. He sent me a picture of his son. The picture's unbelievable. Am I allowed to put it up?
You put it up.
All right, I'll pull it up. His son's doing, what, teen nationals in how many weeks now?
Yeah, that was a mess wrong, Dave.
Wait, is he really doing the team nationals?
He is. He yeah. is.
Real? Wow. That's legit. So he's is this like a
little, I'm got a little Andrew Jack Nigerian blood going through them.
Wait, Chris, you're so funny.
Chris, are you going to be in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks? Or
no, I'm not going to be there.
No, you'll be there for team nationals, I assume, right?
Yeah, wherever it is. I don't even know where.
Wherever it is. It's in Pittsburgh. Is it? Yeah, of course it is. Oh, it's always.
I'll have to learn the name of those.
You better book a flight. You're in a hotel.
Oh, I'm going to have to brush up on my geography and get the Three Rivers. But name them by name rather than by number.
Yeah, they won't let you into Pittsburgh if you don't know the Three Rivers names. Yeah, so
I'll drive like Sid.
You probably, knowing you, you probably will. That's Dave, exactly.
Is that awful? Sid, he's like, oh, who'd you send me pictures of who looks really good? And I'm like,
yeah, he couldn't think of it.
I'm like, oh, nice. Andrew Jacks. I said, with Vito.
Hold on. I'm going to pull the pictures up here. Hold on a second. Yeah, Chris, you're funny.
Chris, do you have any confirmation as far as where Andrew's competing next?
Texas.
Oh, confirmed. Texas going for the three-peat then. Look at this.
Yeah. That's how old is your son? 19 or 18?
18. He can do it. Unless I pop him into the Texas Pro, I don't know.
He can do it. He can do it twice and go for the Cody Montgomery record.
How about the front lat spread? How about the front lat
spread? Yeah, I'm going to pull that up next. Hold on. Yeah.
Let's say a Sid cap handicap that front lat.
Milos wouldn't like that. Wouldn't like the vacuum. It's a bone pose. It's a bone pose. He says.
I don't believe the vacuum is not the even Arnold. He's wrong. Sid's
dying for me to do a response video to Milos's the vacuum video.
It was like a month ago. I was dying. You know, now I think I've died. Like,
I'm bringing it up again. trying to get people all juiced up. About
there you go,
it.
Gin everybody up again. So,
should bodybuilders have to hit? Is a vacuum pose a real pose, or is it not posing your abs? Is it hiding your abs? That's.
So I'm gonna translate for everybody in the comment section.
Okay.
Should Dave apologize to the vacuum, or should he apologize to the abs as far as the open class is concerned?
What does he weigh here, Chris?
203.
How tall is he?
How tall?
Yeah, how tall is he?
He's my height, 5'9".
Okay.
Wow.
No, you're taller than 5'9", Chris.
No, I'm not taller than 5'9". I'm 5'9 and a half, I think.
He's like
5'9". I'm 5'9 and a half, and you're
he's 5'11".
Definitely Chris taller than me.
No, I just lift my shoulders like Arnold.
So he's obviously going to be a light heavyweight, right?
With the same inserts that Stallone and DeSantis wear.
Are you wearing Chris wears lifts in his shoes? Is what he's saying. Oh my god! So yeah, he'll be a light heavyweight at the team nationals. I think he's going to do well. Well, how much more weight do you think he's going to lose?
12.
All right. Well, he gets free advertising here on RX Muscles.
Yeah. So. You want to laugh, Dave?
What?
We're in Miami. And it was like December, and I don't know, maybe it was like 235 or something. And he said, what do you think I'll weigh for the show? And I said, you know how bodybuilders are.
Yeah.
I don't know. He said, come on, what do you think I'll weigh? And I said, this one he decided he wanted to do it. I said, push me. Come on, just tell me, what do you think? I said, 188.
I swear I was going to say that, Chris.
And we went to an all-you-can-eat gigantic sushi place.
He ate everything?
No. No, it wasn't all you could eat. It was this place that I go to, and I had my 20-year-old, and I had the 10-year-old who could eat more sushi than Kai Greene. and the sushi comes, and I know his mentality is just like me. He's like, this is exactly me. 188, I'm 236. And that was it. He wouldn't eat any food.
Oh, no, why?
You know, right? I'm starting a diet now. It's the mentality of like snowstorm. Yeah. Wait a minute, snowstorm. I have to get out and be able to do legs today.
Right.
I'll walk
right
to the gym.
You know what? Here's my prediction. Given what he weighs now and what you're saying, 188 would make sense, but I think he's going to grow into the show.
Dave, he's been growing like crazy.
I bet you he's like 190, 191 or something like that on stage.
Yeah.
I'll bet he gains another 2-3 pounds of muscle.
Well, he gains weight on, he gets bigger on a hard diet, which is
yeah, because he's probably eating better when he's dieting. Yeah,
I would diet, and I would think my body would do the opposite. It would. I don't know why, but it would, like, the harder I diet, the bigger I would. I mean,
because you probably ate more protein when you dieted than when you were off season, because you're a terrible eater. That's why.
Yeah, that could be.
So I think the guys that are like that, who are terrible eaters in the off season, do much better when they're dieting because they're so hungry they don't miss meals.
Yeah,
that could. And I see guys like that put on muscle. You know, like, that's why Akeem Williams grows, I'm pretty sure, when he's dieting.
Akeem is getting ready for something, and he's going to demolish whatever he's doing. I don't know what it is. Toronto.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be his coming out. I'm here.
I think that's what Brett Wilkin is doing. He told me. I think he said. I think he announced that.
Quentin Rhea going to be in that show too?
I think we were talking about a Quentin being a New York pro. Someone said, right?
Right. He is going to be. Yeah. That's on record, right?
Yeah.
When he told me at the Arnold Classic, it was off the record at that time. And that was only because there were so many, like, you know, loose parts as far as who was going to be in the show, who wasn't going to be in the show. So, all right. So, if he has it on the record, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have him. You have Martin. Nick, obviously.
Yeah. I saw him in he was in St. Louis. Yeah. He looks – I was telling Chris, he's a very impressive person.
No, right? Yeah.
So, it's going to be a great year.
That's going to be an insane show.
Yeah. So, we'll all be out there. So, we'll actually be able to do a wrap-up together. And do a real time, prejudging. And you're going to only be at the night show, right, Sid?
At the night show, yeah. In the daytime, the NCAA lacrosse quarterfinals. So I'm going to be announcing that. So I'm going to get done probably around 5. As soon as it's done, book it for Teaneck, New Jersey. So I'll see you guys for the night show.
Excellent. And who else is going to be there? Any? Oh, you know what? By the way, John Hansen sent me pictures. He was at the George Farah Guru opening of the Guru documentary. So he sent me some pictures. I should probably pull him up off his Instagram. But he went there. He said it was good.
No, I heard it was a great event. I heard it was, like, really, like, nicely put together. It was really lavish, I guess.
Yeah, Lolly did it, so.
Yeah, no, they pulled
out. He's high-end all the way.
Yeah. No, and he's, as you know, big fan of bodybuilding in general. He has an appreciation for the greats or whatever. So he really was invested in this documentary. I mean, you saw he had big names. He had a lot of different names, you know, for the George Farah documentary. So.
Yeah, he produced all.
Big names and a lot of big names. Who was there? Dexter was there. Kai was there.
Yeah. John Hansen was there. Look at that. That's a pretty big post.
Sean Ray was there.
George must have been in all his glory at that thing. That's like winning an Academy Award for George.
Red carpet. You should have went down, Dave, and done the red carpet.
Would have, but I was in St. Louis. I told you.
I'm telling you, it's
who's
it's
that the, on the panel there? Is that the George's? Who's that? I don't know who's on the panel there.
It's the ad for you could have got it.
These were probably the people who made the movie. That's why.
Do you recognize any of them, Dave? Remember the whole that fitness challenge, whatever that they did like a year and a half ago on the channel? Remember, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You remember any of those faces from that?
No.
Because obviously there was, you know, Anthony Lolly, his wife was involved as well.
Oh, so that's the first two.
Possibly. I'm just, you know, again.
Someone had a lot of pictures up. I don't remember who put up a lot of pictures. I saw it someplace. I got to go look and see who else put it up. But I know I remember seeing Kai and I think Sean Ray was there too.
Sean Ray was there. Sean Ray's... Yeah. On behalf of another media outlet, let's put it that way.
Who is he working with now?
MI.
What's MI?
Muscle Insider.
Oh, that's right. Oh, they relaunched themselves. Because our friend Scott sold it, right?
Yeah, he sold it, right. I don't know their names, but I mean, we see them in all the shows, whatever. So.
Yeah.
But good for them. I mean, you know, the event.
Hold on, Hanson's telling me Dexter was there. Let's see what he said. Kai was there. We saw that. Oh, that's George's wife and the producers on the set. I thought that was George's wife in the red. because I was eating breakfast with them at the Arnold's. Yeah, so that's George's wife, or it was, I don't know if it's his wife, or his girlfriend for a long time. I don't know if they're actually married, but and that's Lolly at the end, and then his wife. So he did a good job, you know. I hope he does more of those with more bodybuilders, because you know what, we don't get any credit for anything, you know. I mean, The Rock.
No, I mean, look, I think what it comes down to is this. You've got to have, like, look, you got to have a passion for this kind of a thing, right? Because I know you guys were talking about this last week, right? Like, as far as, all right, if this document, were you talking about the Phil Heath documentary, that will this translate over to other bodybuilders, right? Like, are there going to be other bodybuilders that are going to have, like, a documentary made for them, right, about them or whatever? And my question is, you know, what is the criteria for that kind of a thing, right? Like, I mean, who else fits that bill? To me, Jay would be an obvious answer.
I think it's something they have to do. I've done something inspirational in the industry, don't you think?
Right. Something big, something notable, something.
Kai should have one for sure, right?
Who? I'm sorry.
Kai. Kai's got a great story.
No, he's got a great story.
I would like to. Again, you remember, Chris? Do you remember when Muhammad Ali played himself in the biography of himself years ago?
Yeah,
that's. They should make a They should make a movie about Kai. A fiction, but Kai should play himself though in the movie.
Well, he could play himself on different stages, and they could make him look younger, like in his 20s. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He should play himself, because I don't think anyone can play Kai. Can they? Maybe the Boogeyman can play Kai. Maybe if they wanted to get him.
Phil, to me, his accomplishments were landmark enough to the point where he had an indelible, you know, footprint on bodybuilding, a bodybuilding history. I would say the same for Jay, right? Like, Kai is an interesting story, but again, if the criteria is they did something truly transcendent, right? I mean, look, you're Phil, you win 7 Olympia titles. Obviously, that in and of itself, is worthy of a documentary. But then obviously suffering, you know, the hernia injury, attempting a comeback. I mean, again, that's a great story in and of itself. I mean, you're talking about inspirational or whatever.
George beat cancer. I mean, so that
doesn't get
much better than that. Yeah.
But Dave, I'm being very real when I ask this question. Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to know what the you know, audience thinks as well. Beyond what we've already seen, obviously, look, George is an inspiration in everything that he fought. Phil is an inspiration in terms of what he's won, what he had to overcome to come back to the Olympia stage. Jay, for what he did. How much interest is there in a documentary?
On what?
I'm saying beyond that class of bodybuilder, right? Like, we start to go down the list in terms of, like, who else gets a documentary? How much interest really is
there? How about Lee Haney? Lee Haney won 8 Olympias by the time he was 33. That's a pretty good story.
I think
he'd be a great documentary.
That is trying to point out is that when he says, correct me if I'm wrong, Sid, is how much interest? How much interest is there outside the bodybuilding community? Because the bodybuilding community will watch all of them.
Yes.
Right.
Which doesn't matter, you know? It's what is the interest outside of bodybuilding? And
well, Arnold, people were interested in Arnold. Even I know he was in the movies and stuff like that, but still, I mean.
Yeah, well, what Arnold has done, nobody has or in all likelihood will ever do again as far as the bodybuilding circle is concerned. Right. I'm being very blunt when I say that. Arnold is as one of one as it gets coming from the bodybuilding industry. Phil, again, very inspirational. So I'm just wondering beyond this class.
I think Dorian has got a very interesting story. He was in essentially a boys' jail, you know, for juvenile delinquents. And
the tests. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think Dorian's got a great story.
They all have great stories. I'm just wondering what the appetite is for documentaries necessarily going forward. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Documents, because, documentaries, it's not much, because there's a documentary on everything and anyone at anyone's fingertips, whether it be YouTube or Netflix. So it's not
right.
15 years ago when
documentaries are hot.
Amount of documentaries. Well, they're hot because you like them, Dave. In other words,
no, but they're hot because everyone wants them. Why is everyone watches them? Obviously, it's not just because I watch them. Everyone else is watching.
They're hot because the documentaries are on that you're watching are on monumental figures, whether it be Hugh Hefner.
Right.
Right.
His impact on everything.
Society, everything, exactly.
Yeah. Right, but Michael Jordan. Right. These are world
Hold on. Because I'm talking to Sid because you interrupted everyone. Yeah, what is the... I mean, the appetite is not there, is the bottom line, Sid.
No, what I was going to say...
I don't think there is.
No, because there's two categories of documentaries. Ones that have broad appeal, okay?
Right.
And then ones that are niche ones, that people who follow that niche want to see that documentary. So while Kai Greene might not be interesting to the rest of the world, like a Michael Jordan would, to the bodybuilding industry, and there's enough bodybuilders that would watch it that it would still warrant doing a documentary on them. So it doesn't have to have broad appeal. It could have a niche appeal as long as it has a lot of niche appeal. And I think there are a lot of bodybuilders that if someone like The Rock or Lolly did high-end documentaries on, there's enough people that would watch it, okay, because there is broad appeal. If it was on Netflix, if it was on Amazon Prime, that type of thing.
So here's how I would answer that. Okay, like Kai specifically, right? Me personally, yeah, I would only because, you know, obviously we've known Kai for as many years as we have. We've seen the different chapters of his career in and out of bodybuilding. But beyond that, with Kai, if this was years ago, during the precipice of maybe the peak of his bodybuilding career slash maybe the tail end, right? Maybe you give that Arnold Classic Championship was in 2016, 2017. Now, I don't know. Now, I don't know if you have quite the appetite for a documentary on Kai. Within the bodybuilding fan base. I don't know.
I would do a documentary on Kai, what he's doing now, and then do flashbacks. I would follow him around now because no one knows what he's doing right now. I want to see what he's doing now and then let him talk about his past and go back and forth, you know, from the.
But Dave, I think we need to make a separation between, okay, like a documentary versus just a catching up with. Look, because there's a lot of content on YouTube and Netflix or whatever. Like, all right, where are they now? Or like, what are they up to? Or just some features.
Did you see the Nolan Ryan documentary?
I did not. No, but like, just go back to the point of like Kai Greene again. And I'm not saying this like it's in any disparaging. Obviously, like, you know, Kai and I don't want to say, oh, we're friends or whatever. We do have, you know, a working relationship and everything like that. But what I'm saying is when you say documentary, right, like the George Farah documentary, right? Documentaries, you have all these different people lined up giving their testimonials based off different aspects of different chapters of George's life. You could do the same to replicate that for Kai. Again, I just wonder what, again, now, maybe not 5-6 years ago, but now, right? Is there enough of an appetite within the bodybuilding circle? And I'm not saying just for Kai. I don't want to make this about Kai. I would say most, right, of the names you would mention, I'd question, is there an appetite for it? Is there something like where people are like, holy crap, I need to see the story. You know what I mean? I need to see what Lumbo has to say about
name the athlete. I think Kai has an interesting enough story that would be very popular. Yeah, I do. That's my opinion. But
yeah. No.
From where he came from, his story is amazing, you know. So I think we need more inspiring stories of bodybuilders that are going to inspire future generations of bodybuilders to want to go into bodybuilding. And if there's nothing to aspire to, because no one's career gets memorialized in a sense or you know, celebrated by having a documentary made about them, then you know, what's the inspiration to want to, you know, continue achieving greatness in bodybuilding? I think they have.
So, you know, there's two things that I think need to be
done. There needs to be a Bodybuilding Hall of Fame, which hopefully at some point in the future I can help facilitate. And there also needs to be more documentaries, more life stories of these bodybuilders and what they've gone through and the sacrifices they've made. And it doesn't matter if it appeals to broadstream America. There's enough people in our fitness industry. Ask Jim Mannion how many, you know, NPC cards he sells a year to watch these documentaries and make them successful.
See, I'll tell you this. Like, okay, if you were to say Jay Cutler, right? Like me personally, and I can't speak for everyone, but what I am interested in, I'm interested in how Jay Cutler went from obviously one of the most decorated bodybuilders of all time now to one of the most successful businessmen, one of the most successful entrepreneurs, because Jay Cutler has, I don't want to say reinvented, but he has built off the success that he had in bodybuilding to now, look, when I'm in the gym, right, aside from our channel, you know, who am I watching? I'm watching Jay. I'm watching Jay walking, right? Because Jay, when he talks, you want to listen because you want to hear from the mind of somebody that has not only accomplished, obviously, so much in bodybuilding, but just you see what he has going on in his life with the supplement company, with obviously the real estate. Obviously, Chris would know about that. And so many other aspects of his life that it's just been success, success, success. Me personally, that inspires me. Do you see what I'm saying? So for me personally, I would find that kind of a thing interesting. But I can't say that for everybody within this space. Some, yes, have interesting stories. Yeah. Some have inspirational stories. But again, I look at Jay and I'm saying to myself, like, holy crap, I'm a 43-year-old man. And when I grow up, I want to be like Jay. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, you have to find who you resonate with. You know what I mean? Do you resonate with more of a Kai Greene? Do you resonate with a Jay Cutler? Do you resonate with a Chris Aceto? Do you resonate with, you know, a George Farah? And I think that there are different niches to the bodybuilding world. Maybe even people might, you know, relate to me. Hey, Dave never turned pro, but you know what? He made a business out of bodybuilding and he's still doing it at a high level. So inspiration is what documentaries are all about. It's not about who the greatest bodybuilder of all time. There's only one Ronnie Coleman documentary, you know, but there could be a lot of documentaries based on different characters in our industry and people who've achieved greatness, you know, in terms of whether they had a great supplement company. Look at the Jack Owok story is a great freaking story. Yeah. I mean, the guy lived in his store and then became the biggest energy drink in the world. And then, you know, gave up $4 billion, you know, to selling the Pepsi. And then, you know, he still made money, but he wound up having to sell and he got lawsuits against him. So that's going to be like a Netflix documentary for sure. When I don't know who could play Jack except for Jack, but that's a great story right there. You know? So I think that there's enough. And I think if The Rock and sees that he's getting good response from the Phil Heath documentary, if Lolly's getting good response from George and his own documentary, maybe we'll see more of those made.
I think that's the money point right there. What you just mentioned, Look, The Rock, right? $7 productions, the Universal documentaries. That's a huge factor in all this, right? I mean, look, you and I talked about how Phil goes on Pierce Morgan.
Yeah.
He goes on True Geordie. Before you know, he has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick, but David has been on that podcast. Yeah. He's been on some of the biggest podcasts. You don't get on that without the backing of something, you know, someone like The Rock and that production company, whatever. So you're right. In that sense, look, if they decide, all right, we're going to wave our magic wand, this is the next documentary we're going to make, that's a horse that I would back, right? Because if they say, all right, you know what? Screw it. We're going to do our next on Kai Greene. You better believe Kai Greene is going to be on every major podcast. He's going to be on a lot of different major networks.
Sid, what else
is going to get out there?
Once you retire from bodybuilding, what else you got? What other acknowledgement? There's nothing else. I mean, that if you get a documentary made about your life, I mean, that's puts you in, you know, that's forever, you know? And so I think that's something every bodybuilder wants, to be acknowledged in such a way that people find that their life is interesting enough that they can document it and put it into, you know, a format that people can watch for the rest of their days, you know? And I think that's as good as it's going to get. I mean, that's better than no one cares about magazine covers anymore. There's no magazines left. Right. But if you can have a documentary made about you, then that's something that you can show your grandkids. So we'll see what happens. I only wish George the best on it, Phil the best on his documentary. Oh, and we got to wrap this up. Thank you, Sid, for joining us. I know you had a busy day. And Chris, don't vacation too hard at the beach house there.
wait, Chris, I had a question for you. Where is Good Vito? What's next for him? Yes, we had a few people asking us during
the week. You missed it.
I'll ask Chris.
You missed it.
All right.
He's shutting it down, Chris said.
He's shutting it down. Yeah. Okay. Next.
I asked Chris if he thought that was a bad move, and Chris said, it's a move.
you're going to see Andrew Jack at the Pittsburgh, so you'll be there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you said he's big, right? I mean, that's sort of the tagline.
He's very big.
He's bigger than my son, so.
Chris did send me pictures of a video of him, too. He's very big, yeah. So it'll be an interesting Pittsburgh guest posing. Let me put it that way. There's going to be a lot of talk after that guest posing is over.
No, there's going to be a lot of talk. And I mean, Dave, really, when you think about it, obviously we're going to see them on stage, but the storylines that are going to come out of that, The New York Pro a week later. And I mean, look, we already talked about, we got to look at Martin Fitzwater. The fact that they announced that, what was it, this past Monday, that's a very, very sneaky big addition to that lineup, because you're going to get somebody who's obviously coming off a win. And look, I think when you consider the New York Pro, right, let's be very real about it. Everyone has had Nick Walker pegged as, I mean, that's it. I mean, he's going to come in, he's going to collect a second New York Pro ring or whatever, right? That picture where he showed that ring to the camera. And then you see Martin Fitzwater, and obviously the day and night that he showed at the Detroit Pro, that could be a huge, huge storyline coming out. And I mean, the fact, whatever he shows you in Pittsburgh, fast forward, you're going to see something like that a week later. You're going to see that kind of a prelude to the matchup in New York. That's a huge, huge storyline. And then
Robbie, we mentioned earlier, I saw him in St. Louis. I ran into him, and I also ran into Tony.
Did he give you a preview or?
I told you, I ran into Martin. There's a picture on my Instagram of Martin.
And but that was more like, hey, bro, like that wasn't.
No, I saw what he looks like. He showed me pictures of himself.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he looks really good. But Tonio Burton is the most impressive. I'm telling you, he's going to be the most dangerous guy in New York Pro that Nick has got to watch out for, I think. Super dangerous.
I don't think it's
super dangerous. He's another William Bonac. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's super
Bonac dangerous. Or Dexter, because I know we bandied about that whole.
He's got Bonac like roundness muscle. Yeah, I think he's got Dexter like conditioning. So I think everyone's gonna be very impressed with him. You know, assuming he peaks properly for the show. So
look, I'm on record about this that. If Rami comes, I know Chris kind of, you know, alluded to this a couple of weeks ago. If Big Rami, I forget about anything else. If Big Rami looks quote unquote repaired in 2 weeks in Pittsburgh, that might be your biggest storyline coming out of that weekend, because now he shuts it down and he is hibernating for the next 6 months. And now all of a sudden, now you're not saying to yourself, all right, the broken down Rami that we saw, what was it, a couple of Olympias ago. Now you're saying, all right, maybe the fresh, maybe the regenerated, maybe the stem-celled up Rami is 6 months away from Dave. I know what you're thinking.
I'm telling you,
repair,
I wouldn't bet $5 on it. But the point is, I hope you're right. I love Rami's physique. I love the big freak. I just don't see it happening.
Chris, and then you know what I'm going to say? You know what I'm going to say? And you know what I'm going to say? What the rest of the comment section is going to say? They're going to say, apologize to Rami.
I hope I do. I hope I have to. I hope I have to. What do you think, Chris?
I already went on the record. I said
Think he could get better. You didn't say whether he would be better.
No, I said that he's not done. I've said that.
Okay. Let's see.
If we can get into what that means, but.
We'll talk about it next week. For now, we have to wrap up. Thank you guys for joining us live. Thank you, Sid. Thank you, Chris. We'll be back again next week. And as we say with Heavy Muscle Radio.
The Mets hurt. The truth hurts.
Hey, Chris, we've been doing this for 15 freaking years. Can we get this smooth for once?
We're shutting this down and then...
Chris acts like he never do this every week.
The Mets broadcast.
We'll see you next week, guys.